is Sportsfeld, if you can believe it, somehow, some way, so quickly. We are halfway through the month of October. We are running out of sports. We are, and this is, I've had this realization yesterday, we are 7 months into the pandemic, which I will admit, selfishly, when the pandemic first hit its big waves, we can all remember that, back in May, I would say, roughly, March, April, May, those first big waves, selfishly, I looked at the calendar and I said, late October, my 35th birthday, will be a, and I use the heavy, heavy finger quotes for this, normal day. And I am wrong.
Yeah, I was doing this yesterday, and the, like, the benchmarks we set for ourselves in, like, March, of like, oh, just make it to, like, April 17th. And, like, we'll be almost at the other end of this. And now it is
October. Everybody quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And now it is October 14th. And there is no end in sight.
Yeah. I think we do this we do this show every week. But we, I think, ride these emotional highs and lows. I know I'm trackable on this, that not long ago, I was sort of felt very all is lost and no end in sight. And now it's funny. There is, I mean, it's the same words, just a different voice. It's all is lost. I have no clue when the other side of this exists, but so be it. I'm sort of heals up.
Yeah, I was having kind of a sad day today because, as we know, it's the 5th anniversary of the bat flip, and watching all the videos of the home run and the crowd and reaction videos, that it got me today. It hasn't in months of like, boy, look at all the things that we like to do that we're not doing. Kind of day to day of just like looking at crowd reaction videos to different cool sporting events and being like, damn, that sucks a lot. And like, I think it's, but it's also at the same time, like, the other side of my brain is thinking like, yeah, but I'm also so used to this now that, like, who gives a shit?
Like, right.
Like, tomorrow is going to be another Thursday, just like last week was Thursday. And we're just, and like, I was thinking about it from exactly your context of like, oh, we'll get to April or March or October and we'll be back to quote unquote normal. And now, and in April, the thought of it being October 15th and things being basically exactly the same would have been devastating. And now it's like,
devastating. I would have been devastated.
And now it's like, well, that's what this week is.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. What can you even say? I mean, we're, right. I think your earlier totally correct explanation is that everything felt like Thursday. I think the back half of this, as we exit summer, I believe it is starting to feel like Tuesday every day and not Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday has sort of an anticipatory, like, we're about to Friday Junior, as it is affectionately known. Tuesday is always a boring work day. No matter how long your weekend may or may not be, you are always working on Tuesday.
It even feels like, and like, I don't want to get too doom and gloom off the bat, because I don't even really feel that doom and gloom.
Right. I want to say this, that I am laughing and smiling.
Yeah.
I can't believe my life.
But like, I remember in the early days of, I guess, genuinely, I don't even know what day of quarantine this was. But at some point near in the earlier times, because it was spring, it was like, okay, Friday, finish work, maybe finish work early, go sit on the balcony in the sun and have a drink, and then like have a Friday. And now it's like, oh, Friday, finish work early, sit on the couch and have a drink. And like, it's not that different, but it's a little different.
No, totally. I have been able to mark the times of like going for an afternoon walk. I'm now back to the jacket I was taking my initial walks in,
right,
which was the spring. Now it's that same jacket. I'm wearing it because it's achingly cold and very windy. You forget the October, very windy time to be outside.
It is. Blustery. It is. And just like, it's just, it's weird. To your point of being back in the jacket, it's weird to be like back in, like doing like, you know, back to doing the one shop a week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and like, I, as I said on this show in April, it gave me like a panic attack. And now it's just like, well, okay. There's plexiglass up. Everyone's wearing a mask. Everyone's staying away from each other. And that's just like fine and normal and get it done and go home. It's just, it's weird how we, how easily we adjust to very weird things.
Yeah, I don't even know. I you know, that tether of how long it's been since something happened, or it's totally slipping through the hands now, as it is, as I said, late October, I mean, mid to late October. We have no real idea and no real clue what it's going to look like when we get, and then we're back to talking about what about when will we get our sports back. It's sort of, we're back to that topic because we had those seasons happen, and other than a couple series of baseball left, there's half of the CS and the World Series, and that's it. 2 weeks from now, it'll be over. We are back to looking at not knowing when things will return. We've heard the NHL, very early stage, Gary Bettman said January 1st. I saw basketball, I think today, was, they're looking at March, I think is what I saw.
What? Really?
Possibly. I could be wrong. I wasn't online much, so I could be missing that. But boy, oh boy. Because here's the thing, right? Is it was easy to say you will bubble for the playoffs, but you, bubbling for a full season is that's a lot of goddamn time to be not leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no, doesn't seem to be any announcement yet. Silver suggested delaying till at least January.
Right. It's the latest. Brian Windhorst said, could be as early as January, or could still be much later, perhaps March. So there's a 3 month window there.
I will say, obviously, I care far more about when basketball comes back than hockey. But if hockey is coming back January 1st, which I think makes sense, that's when the season should start anyway, to be honest. That's only like a 2.5 month off season.
Right.
That's pretty pretty bog standard, I think.
It's just, where will they, are we looking at the NFL and we're looking at the MLB and we're saying, okay, well, they're just going to travel then, because
I heard
you can't play January to November in a bubble.
I think what the advantage the NHL has is that they have 8 Canadian teams or 7 Canadian teams. So I've seen this,
right.
I've seen this rumbling around. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I've seen there being rumblings of aligning it. So basically the 7 or 8, however fucking many Canadian teams there are, that's one division that plays each other. And then
boy.
American teams, I guess, would be divided up as usual, which to me, I think is probably the best idea. I mean, like, obviously the best idea is nobody in the States travels anywhere and you're in a bubble. That is obviously the best option. But I also grant the realism of that idea and the fact that these are human beings who, like, telling someone to go bubble away from their family for 8 months a year is a lot. So maybe the country divisions make the most sense. I don't know.
Boy, oh boy. I feel like if you are talking about a full season bubble, you're going to have a lot more people pull out than pulled out of, say, the Disney bubble or the hockey bubbles, because, you know, finishing what you started versus your whole year is a total wash. I don't know that I would be able to be convinced to go play an entire season in a bubble.
They'd have to basically, like, create a city for it. And, like,
boy, oh boy.
And like, you could bring, like, allow the players to quarantine with and bring their families. But they'd have to have, like, basketball town or hockey town or whatever. I don't see any other way.
No, I'm going to go ahead and say.
I don't see. No way. No, but, like, I don't see any other way that they would, like, be able to make it work mentally, let alone, like, logistically.
I tell you, the harrowing truth of the situation, Jake, is they are going to travel and have fans in the arenas.
Well, Eugene Melnick put forward a proposal today for 6,000 people at games in Ottawa. So
Yeah, man. Well, the NFL is doing it, and, yep. and sure, it's slowly ravaging their league, and we will, I'm sure, have... I mean, it's hard to even track outbreaks to games because America is just in an ongoing state of constant outbreak, so you can't really say.
Yeah.
Unless it's, you know, every member of their White House who's in the one place. People are all over the place all the time. I think reality is, and I don't know, NBA is going to have to be the one strong enough to have players say they don't believe in the idea if that is where they're at. Obviously, we are miles away. But from all the athletes that you hear coming out of the NBA bubble, they were thrilled to be getting out of the bubble period. Forget
I mean,
how their seasons ended.
How could you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I am not convinced there will be fans. I'm in agreement with you, though, that I think they'll be traveling. And that could just mean the Toronto teams have other homes, like they did in baseball.
I was going to say, what city do you think the Raptors are playing out of next year?
The Buffalo Raptors. Put them in the HSBC Center or something. I don't know. Generally, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Boy, oh boy. Where would they play? Buffalo? I guess Buffalo must have a gym.
Well, I guess you could convert. Can you just convert a hockey arena?
I don't think so. I don't think you could just.
I mean, UB has.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. They probably can.
Yeah, or UB is a D1 team. They have a gym.
Okay. Boy, that's a while away. We're ahead of ourselves.
Not being said, though.
The NBA Finals.
If the NBA is not starting until March, who knows? Truly, who knows?
Listen.
we might not be here.
Yeah, maybe we're in for 6 unprecedented months of growth and understanding in the United States. You're right.
Oh, I didn't mean. I meant it the other way.
Oh yeah, maybe the.
I meant.
Yeah, maybe we're all gone. Yeah,
society's just collapsed by that point.
It's certainly teetering. We had NBA. The Lakers won the championship, as we sort of assumed would happen when we last spoke. LeBron James, we may have mentioned on the show once or twice, is very good, remains very good. He and AD, as a duo, really just, that was it, is that as a duo, they were basically impossible to match. And that is apparently all it takes when you don't have like a super team going up against them.
It was crazy how quickly it went from, oh, I don't know if LeBron and AD can do it themselves, to, well, I guess it's over now.
You know what? For me, it sort of brought into perspective, and maybe this should have been obvious at the time, but like how truly ridiculous the peak Golden State plus Kevin Durant era team is. Because like literally what would you – like how did they ever lose a game, the Golden State with Kevin Durant? Like honestly.
Yeah, and like how – I don't want to keep bringing it back to – the Raptors, but I will.
Like, please do.
The Raptors would have put up a better fight than that. I think.
You'd have to think.
I think. I don't know. Like, the Heat took 2 off of them. Jimmy Butler's great. But I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you could. They played them well in the regular season, and you could say that part of what ended up having Miami run out of gas was Butler had to do it all on both ends, whereas with Toronto, you are sort of siphoning off the LeBron responsibilities to both the team defense and when you needed OG, Pascal. So you can sort of give it to guys who aren't the be-all, end-all offensively that don't need to score on the other end as well, like Jimmy did, to really, really, truly run out of gas. But we try not to dig that scar too deeply as we talk about
Raptors
who could have won.
I was thinking today, I wonder what this obviously occurred to me way back when, but hadn't thought about it in a while. I wonder how the bracket in the NBA would have shaken out had COVID not happened. Had we had like home court and fans. I mean, I wonder where everyone would, how it all would have landed. But we'll never
know. Yeah, it certainly is hard. It's hard enough to think about it when you think about, you know, how the Raptors crowd is during the playoffs and how rowdy they would have been for that Boston series. They would have been like the Marcus Smart hits 6 threes on the road. You feel like probably isn't happening with fans in Toronto.
I definitely don't think they lose Game 7 in Toronto with fans.
You know?
But,
I think.
But. Yeah, we'll never know.
Happy for Jimmy Butler, who seemed to have taken a big leap in the public consciousness, going from a very good player to recognized as top of the game.
Yeah.
And man, I can't believe Philly didn't. Holy cow. Philly could have had him and Embiid, and who cares about the rest?
Well, they hired Doc Rivers. You know, that'll get it done.
Like, literally, man, just Embiid and Hart, just Embiid and Jimmy is enough. Like, Embiid, that's enough.
Embiid and Jimmy are one, are like, Embiid and Jimmy are like the third greatest shot in basketball history away from beating the champs last year.
Crazy. Forget about how Ben Simmons fits in. We just saw with LeBron and AD that a strong enough duo, front court wing, can carry you really far. Man, oh man. Excited. Let's get Embiid on the Heat.
Let's get Giannis here.
Yes, let's get That is part of the next steps. The Raptors, one free agency away from being one free agency away. No, they're one away from... Lots of these decisions to make there. We will get into the Raptors' future next week episode. We are continuing our wrap-ups of each season. We'll do that in the next segment because the Maple Leafs made a bunch of moves. It was draft last time, but this time it was stuff we actually know about this week. So that's
players we've heard of.
Much, much, much better. Players we've heard of, guys. Maybe which also maybe is a bad thing, question mark?
Who knows?
Because we've heard of them?
Yeah, who knows?
And we're idiots? But before that, it is time to talk about the October Brewery of the Month. It's Muddy York Brewing, proudly brewed in Toronto's East End since 2013. You can order online at muddyyorkbrewing.com ahead of your pickup. Receive free deliveries if you don't want to pick it up on orders over $100 in the GTA delivery zone. If the order is under $100, no problem. They deliver inside that GTA zone for $10. And if you're in Ontario but outside of that zone, Swift Post gets it to you safely and securely for $15. But of course, nothing beats curbside pickup. 22 Cranfield Road, open Sunday to Tuesday until 6, Wednesday and Saturday until 8, or you can stay for a socially distant drink in the beer garden. You can always find select Muddy York beers safely and securely in your local LCBO. For listening to this show, for being a Sportsfeld listener, you use promo code Sportsfeld at checkout on your order. You get 15% off. Must be 19 plus, of course. While supplies last, its offer is good for all online orders, pickup, or delivery. We are sampling this week, because they are so nice to give us beers, the Staring Down the Sun Clementine Sour, a 5.5 ABV, perfectly balancing the tangy sweetness of clementines with the tart acidity of a sour ale. Staring Down the Sun, a clean, juicy, citrusy brew that will shine brightly on your palate. Time to open it.
Ooh, add some...
snappy.
It's trouble to it. It's like a juice.
Boy, it's like, that's juicy.
That is juice.
That's that is more, a juicy.
That's more juicy brew than sour.
I would say very much so.
I'm into that.
Flavors of clementine, very strong.
Here's the thing. When I was younger and like way less fun to be around, I was one of those, like, get fruit out of my beer assholes. Sure. Now, if you, like, just give me a beer that tastes like juice or just a juice that gets me drunk, I'm all there for it.
Delightful.
Give me a juice that I cannot taste the alcohol and just tastes like juice, yet gets me drunk.
Juicy and not that sour. Yeah, that tart.
I like
delightful.
It. Yeah.
Staring Down the Sun Clementine Sour from Muddy York Brewing. Promo code Sportsfeld on all your online orders gets you 15% off just for liking us, which is all we could really ask for. Anyway, when we return, we were looking back at the Toronto Maple Leafs season and what they have already done in just a few short days of free agency after this. The Maple Leafs. It was a very Maple Leafy year. We changed our minds on the Maple Leafs every three games. They had the coach. That happened last year. Mike Babcock got fired last year.
Yeah, so this...
That happened 5 years ago. That was the bat flip and then the firing of Babcock, same week.
I didn't want to bring this up when we were talking about time and like the pandemic and everything, because I didn't want to spoil our meaty sports segment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in doing notes today, Babcock got fired in less than a year ago, 11 months ago.
Wow.
That feels like that, like, obviously it feels like forever ago because everything pre-March feels like forever ago, but like that definitely feels like the last season, right?
Yeah, like big pressure on Sheldon Keefe, his third season as head coach. Yeah. He has to turn things around. Wait a minute. He's never coached a full season in the NHL?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe it was this year.
That is bananas. They finished third in the Atlantic. Good enough to get a wild card spot, sort of, in the weird playoffs. They got into the play-in and had to play the Columbus Blue Jackets, which nobody enjoyed. Games that I have immediately forgotten. I feel like the takeaway was that Marner didn't play well, ? It was so quick. Once again, though, more questions than answers. A team that still has not won a playoff series since 2004. Holy moly, that's a long time ago. They started the year last year. They traded Zaitsev and Brown for Cody Ceci. I remember that. And they traded Nazem Kadri for Tyson Barrie, which I think we can look back now and say was probably not a great deal. They got Alex Kerfoot in that deal. And then after a pretty crappy start, as you said, November 20th, they fired Mike Babcock. And they were 9-10-4. They signed Jake Muzzin to an extension. They couldn't find a backup goalie for a long time. They traded for Kyle Clifford and Jack Campbell as your backup goaltender, who are coming in as backup goaltender. And then that sort of is how your year of transactions went. Sort of when you look back at where they ended the year, what did you think sort of needed to be the start of the changes that were made?
Honestly, I have no idea. And I don't mean that in our usual, like, we don't know shit about hockey. Like, I have no idea why. Which, like, obviously that also. But I don't know where they go. Because the sort of Babcockian strategies didn't work. Then they find... And, like, you can't even say that, oh, Sheldon Keefe didn't have a full season. Because, A, he came on in November. And, B, they had the... layoff, and then they got ready for the playoffs kind of fresh in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, like, on paper, it's all there. And now it seems like Dubas was talking about adding some toughness, and they've signed guys like Zach Bogosian. And, like, I don't know if that's the right or wrong direction. My gut says it's wrong, but also that's just because I think we're, like, predisposed from 2007 to 2017 as Leaf fans to be, like, against that kind of thing, which I think is totally fair. But, like, I don't know. Maybe it works. I genuinely don't know what... Like, I don't know what can change so drastically for this team. Like, you still have your... Mm. And cap-wise, the guys that are the guys are locked in, which I'm fine with because they're great. But, like, it's not like there's a DeMar for Kawhi move looming to shake everything up and change the whole thing.
Yes, I think that's a good sort of comparison. The no DeMar for Kawhi... wasn't a major blow up. I think if you look at the template, I think you look at this season's Stanley Cup champions. We forget already the Tampa Bay Lightning. What they had done is they had locked in their skill guys. They did not move on from any of the high-end, high-skill guys, Stamkos and Kucherov and Braden Point and all those guys. They made sure they kept them all in tow. And what they had done... Well, for one thing, they have Victor Hedman. That certainly helps to have the best defenseman who wins the Conn Smythe. But The rest of their defensive core was Bogosian. It was Luke Shen. It was Kevin Shattenkirk. It was they had a bunch of guys. Basically, they had eight defensemen that were all NHL-level defensemen. And instead of, which we saw the Maple Leafs get in trouble last year, they had a couple injuries or a couple guys underperforming, and they only had two, three guys they could rely on. What Tampa was able to do was keep a bunch of veteran NHL defensemen fresh by changing out that bottom part of the defense pairings. Maple Leafs addressing that. As you mentioned, Zach Bogosian, TJ Brody is going to be a top four defenseman guy as well. Mikko Lettinen is getting a lot of buzz about a guy that won KHL Defenseman of the Year and may actually turn some heads, and I assume not quietly. Nobody ever does anything quietly in Toronto, but if he might be an addition to this team on the blue line last year. And the other point is some toughness and some veteran know-how on the bottom six, which is the other part of what sort of was a running disappointment last year. Was the bottom part of the lineup, Freddie Gauthier, you know, Jason Spezza, it was Nick Patan. They really struggled to find a lot of meaningful minutes from those guys down there. Spezza had a pretty good year, but he didn't have a ton of help, and they cycled a lot of guys to the bottom part of that lineup. Now it'll be Wayne Simmonds playing down there at the bottom part of the lineup. Jimmy Vesey is in the fold as well, finally. And they made a couple moves from those middling guys that really failed last year to take that big step forward and get themselves mentioned with Tavares and Marner and Matthews and Nylander. We talked about those guys. We talked about on this show that it was going to come down to they're going to have to make decisions on guys like Kapanen and Andreas Johnsson, and they flipped both of them. Joseph Anderson and Philip Hollander, David Rovsky, and the 15th overall pick who became Rodion Amarov. So trading those skill but not top-end skill guys for some little more depth. So it looks like the play, from what I can see, is to be deeper, not necessarily more talented, but to be a little deeper and to be a little more responsible and to get pushed around a little bit less with some toughness. We will see what that really means for this team come playoff time. But I will say, I am very happy. I don't care what part of his career is. This is probably the least fan problem. I'm very happy to get Wayne Simmonds. I don't even care.
Yeah, same. I'm very excited for Wayne Simmonds. And, like, I know that he's not a good fit and he's probably done. But bring me some Joe Thornton.
Oh, yes, that's right. St. Thomas, Ontario's own. I think that might happen as well. I think
it's like three years too late. But
how fun is it, though? Part of the fun of being a Leafs fan is knowing that one day you get Wayne Simmonds, Jason Spezza, and Joe Thornton right. as your line four. It's like right. It's so perfect. It's so like you're making a early mid 2000s Olympic line four, and you get it. You get it in the 2021 Leafs. It's perfect, and I hope it happens.
I hope it happens too, because also like this team isn't fun. Like they should be, but they're just not. So like let's cheer for players that we used to like. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Bring on Wayne Simmonds. Bring on Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza, like Zach Bogosian. Like what? Like I don't know. At this point, I don't know what works and what doesn't. I honestly don't watch enough of VHL to be like, oh, what Tampa did must work. It's like Tampa's just really fucking good. They set the regular season record for points a year ago.
Right.
So I don't know.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. All the offseason moves, basically to this point, are defensive moves. It's for defensive players. It's for bottom part of the lineup players. But that is also identified as a weakness and does make a lot of sense with where they are. They're sort of past the big swings part of the acquisition curve, right? As they've added the guys that they think are going to be their big guys. And now they're trying to supplement the lineup. What's impressed me is they haven't really given up a ton. Like, they haven't sacrificed to make these moves. And Kyle Dubas talked during draft weekend sort of about the way that they're approaching this. And I thought it was a really stark contrast to how we saw, say, Brian Burke approached this team, where he sort of explained his, like, because there was some got people up in arms that they drafted the way they did. A lot of small players, a lot of skill players, a lot of guys that seemed like they already had. But his explanation was, of course, is they are using the draft to try to hit home runs and to really find great players and pieces that they build around to find the fourth line guys and the grinders and the heart and character guys. You can add those in trades and free agency and add those at different points of their career. That's when you can go and sign Bogosian and Simmons and trade for TJ Brody. You develop stars and you trade for the supplemental pieces. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that, like, I understand why there's sort of some, like, oh, I can't believe they gave up on Janssen and Kapanen out there. But I feel like you can find Janssen and Kapanens. Like,
You would assume Nate Robertson is probably
right,
one, right?
Or Ilya Mikheyev, or, you know, pick another speedy winger. Like, I feel like those, right, like, in your top six, guys 5 and 6 are findable. And, like, you definitely need those guys to win a cup. I'm not saying that's not an important spot. But I think when your centerpieces, no pun intended, are Austin Matthews and John Tavares, I think finding those, like, sort of ancillary pieces is less of a challenge, and I think you can pick them up here and there, pick them up for cheap on the deadline, whatever. The one thing that I will keep coming back to, and you kind of said it earlier, boy, I wish we still had Nazem Kadri.
Yeah,
this team really feels like that
brutal.
That is, like, you put Kadri down the middle with these guys, and the way they've made their defense now, which, like, looking at it on paper, again, just on paper, because who knows, but on paper looks pretty decent now. Especially if guys like Sandin or Liljegren or Dermott can take a step, like it's a decent six defenseman. Boy, Kadri, just like that hole is there. You can see it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I agree to your point. The defense has gone from, now they basically, of the guys you mentioned, Sandin, Liljegren, Dermott, they basically only need one of them to hit. Where last year they need, like, all three of them needed to be very good.
Right.
Now one of them needs to step up and prove they're an NHL defenseman, and you basically have 5 of your 6 very good, very playable players. Very interesting. I agree. The Kadri hole, it hurts. It hurts, especially as Kerfoot sort of slides in there. It seems like everything you talk about, and you hear people talk about what they're missing, it feels like you're describing Nazem Kadri almost word for word, and it is very difficult. That next level heart and grit, and we hate to use those words, but some of the stuff that we talk about missing when they look like they're disconnected or when they're not playing well, he really provided, and they have yet to fill that role with forwards. I will say, one of my favorite things happened, and it happened this week. I think it happened during the draft or around draft weekend. I love when the media catches up to storylines that you and I have fabricated well ahead of time.
Which one came up?
This week, there was a quiet talking point of, is John Tavares actually good?
Ah, yes, of course.
Which when it was anti Marner time, when before that when it was anti Nylander time, you were always ahead of the curve on, let's be mean to Tavares too, just for fun.
It's just like, it's not even that, but like, it's one of those things, like, we've talked about, I forget what other thing we were right about, where it was with the Blue Jays when they signed Tanner Roark and Travis Shaw, and it's not that, like, we're smart and can see these things. It's just that we've paid attention to these teams once in the last 15 years. Like, if you've paid if you've paid attention to how the Blue Jays operate, of course they're ending the offseason with Tanner Roark and Travis Shaw. And if you'd, like, paid attention to Toronto media ever, of course the John Tavares being turned on was next. Like,
he is the only guy left.
He's the captain. I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier, to be honest. But as soon as he was named captain, I couldn't believe they went to Marner first. I thought in November...
Right. Well, he
in November, I thought Tavares would be the first one thrown to the Wolves. But it took to the offseason, so fair enough.
It's funny because they play on the same line a lot of the time.
And their success, so like if that line their success with each other kind of goes hand in hand, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works? But Nylander is out of that doghouse. Yeah, Riley was in there for a little bit.
Nylander's got the whole Nylander's so underrated, he's overrated now. Or so overrated, he's underrated now.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, Nylander's going to tear it up. Is there also just – I know that you know it's bullshit, but Tavares did have 60 points in 63 games this year.
Like I know. Listen, I know.
Like 3 points in 5 playoff games. Like I don't – I know it's like Steve Simmons and like dipshits, but like if you watch the Leafs in the playoffs, there were 3 guys who showed up and he was one of them.
It's just something to talk about.
Yeah. For sure it is.
Riley enters this season with some of that, has to reprove he's the number one. Yeah. Stuff. As sure. does, I'll tell you, Frederik Andersen is another guy that we're talking about. Like he's talking about.
This, I can't believe all the.
Maybe not being on the team.
Yeah. I can't believe that. Like I didn't realize he was a free agent. It was a big part of it. And I also like wouldn't have thought that, like, I get it. If you don't win, you got to blame the goalie eventually, but I wouldn't have thought that he would take any of that.
He's behind the not great defense. So it's one of those things where like, we always agreed that the defense wasn't very good. And then you would, you know, he would get attacked and shelled and you go, well, you disagreed the defense wasn't very good, but it seemed like it was always one. When they give up 2 goals, one of the 2 was always bad, would sort of be what his thing was.
The thing is, and you know this to be true, and this isn't
tough.
This isn't a new thought. The Leafs would win the Cup, and Steve Simmons would have an article like complaining about why they didn't do it right. Like, there's nothing they can.
Of course.
There's nothing they can do. So, I don't know. I hope Freddie. I hope Freddie comes back. He's the best goalie we've had since like Belfour. So.
Not wrong. Very interesting. A very interesting year. I think I have high hopes for what they've done in this offseason. It does sort of seem like the big pieces are set, and I like Simmons. I like. I don't know that I love the Bogosian. I'm excited about the Lettinen kid. I'm excited about anytime there's a rookie who nobody's heard of. I'm excited about getting super hyped on them and annoying people because that's what we do as Leafs fans. But he won best defenseman in the KHL, which is a grown adults league. So. He's an adult coming over.
Yeah, I think I feel better about them going into next season than I did about them going into this season. Because, like, last offseason kind of felt like I feel like we had to talk ourselves into, like, the Kadri for Barry thing. And then there wasn't a lot of real change in between. Whereas this year, I still don't like the Kadri for Barry thing. But, like, they do feel a little more complete as a roster, even though there are still a couple like big holes in there. I definitely don't think they're like, I don't think they're like a President's Trophy contender, but who knows?
Yeah. And I think the focus, you know, the old 82 game team or a 16 game team. I think they're making the moves towards the 16 game team. And as we always try to caution, is they were ahead of schedule a little bit. So at this part of schedule where they should be, it does make sense that these are the kind of moves they're making.
Yeah. And I think that also now, I think this year, maybe last year, but obviously with COVID and everything, last year's kind of a giant shrug.
Mm-hmm.
We said this going into last year, and because of COVID, I think it kind of got pushed a year. So I'll say it again, and I think it's true. This year is the like, oh, they're ahead of schedule thing is no longer applicable.
Yes. Well, now that they've fired the coach, yada, yada.
Yeah.
This is it's a big year. I think, I am glad, though, that with the type of moves they made already this offseason, it sort of flies in the face to thinking that last year was the only year that matters because they have reloaded properly.
Yeah.
And it does sort of paint a sustainable picture as these are all sort of one-year deals.
Yeah. So, I mean... that might just be what they have to do, you know, for the next few years of just reloading up with one-year guys until something works.
Luckily, everybody wants to play here, so.
Yeah, it's true.
Easy peasy. that is it for the Maple Leafs look back and look forward. A lot to look forward to as hopefully, eventually, we get ourselves some Maple Leafs playoff hockey. We'll see when it comes back. Hopefully we get to that point in January. We will see. I'm dubious, but we will see. Anyway, it's time for us to give us our recommendations for the week. Like what we talked, what we watched, what we listened to, what we enjoyed from the week that was after this. Jake is, of course, one half of Monday's Favorite Podcast, the best damn music podcast there is, Columbia House Party, on Mondays and Fridays, co-hosted with, of course, the brain, Blake Murphy, certifies Jake as a certified music knower abouter, and Jake, with that power, we bestow upon you the power to pick one song per week and explain it to us as your song of the week, and my friend, what is that song this week?
That song this week is Hammer by Bacchae, spelled B-A-C-C-H-A-E. Bacchae are a cool female like noise punk band from Washington, D.C., very much in the D.C., like sort of 90s D.C. art punk sound. If you're into stuff like Dismemberment Plan or Jawbox or even Fugazi a little bit, check them out. I think you'll like them. They have an album out from this year called Pleasure Vision, and it's very good. And I highly recommend checking it out. It's dope.
Excellent. Your match of the week, as of course, it is G1 season. It is always G1 season. Not always, but it is a pleasure to be in G1 season. And we roll on with great G1 matches this week. It's Tomohiro Ishii against Jeff Cobb. Just two big, thick fellas slapping the crap out of each other. I always love Tomohiro Ishii in the G1. The human brick wall, the stone pit bull. He's always a tough opponent in the G1. And Jeff Cobb, bouncing back from a tough G1 last year where he seemed like a bit of a guy who had his story sort of pushed to the side and was maybe rumored to be destined for bigger things before Mox came along, has been really proving it with less Americans in this year's G1 because of travel restrictions, really having a nice, strong tournament where he has looked very big and strong. Ishii versus Cobb, go out of your way to find that one. A lot of strong style slapping. Jake, as we remain locked indoors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what are you watching on your television or tablet or whatever it is you use to consume content?
We're still working our way through our Gossip Girl rewatch because that show is never ending. But we're getting to the end. We also watched The Haunting of Bly Manor, which was fine.
I was going to pick Haunting of Bly Manor as my show that I watched this week, and didn't like it much, to be honest with you.
I was thinking about this. I thought it was like well acted and well made and everything.
Snooze fest.
I have a real hard time connecting with ghost stories, I think.
And I don't want to do too much spoilery, but like barely a ghost story, like barely.
Yeah. Yeah. Also that.
Like, you know, I'll say this for anybody tuning into this and unsure. I felt cheated having been told it was like a horror ghost show. It's not
well, because I was in and out of Hill House, but I know Cassie really liked it, and I feel like it was more horror and ghosty. She's nodding, so yes.
It's like it's a lesbian love story. Is what it is.
Yeah,
and nothing wrong with that. It's fine. It's just that's not what I tuned in for. There's ghosts in the background occasionally, but the amount of like things that were scary, very few.
Yeah, I didn't find it scary, and I thought it was like two episodes too long.
Yeah, it was just a bit too much. Just like characters talking, like telling
stories.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of tell, not showing.
Yeah, so we moved on to Hill House. We're a couple of episodes into that, so hopefully that's a little. It seems to be a little more paranormal, if you will.
Paranormal. I don't know where I was going with that. I was gonna make a thing.
That was a thing coming out of that.
Yeah. Huh.
Here's something for you, Jake. Let me know if this freaks you out. It might not. It's not really scary. It's a real Bly Manor of a fact. Okay. So maybe you saw this on Twitter. Crustaceans have evolved to take the shape of a crab at least 5 times independently. So like in the general history of evolution, of the way things evolve into different shapes and different types of animal, crab has just happened over and over again. Things just keep evolving into crabs. Is that weird to you?
Yeah. That's, I don't know if it freaks me out, but it's weird.
It's called, I believe it's called what is this? How do you pronounce this? Carcinization. An example of convergent evolution in which a crustacean evolves into a crab-like form from a non-crab-like form.
Hmm.
Nature just keeps trying to make crabs, basically.
I mean, crabs are cool. They're tasty. And delicious. They're delicious. Yeah. I have one for you as well, but actually I have two for you, so I need you to...
Okay.
Do you want the animal kingdom one, or do you want the science crazy one?
Oh, give me animal kingdom.
Okay. Did I lose it? I gotta find it. Hold on. I had it all. This has been just a disaster of recording for me. Here we go. Okay. In Virginia, the Virginia Department of Forestry has reported received reports of a venomous pus caterpillar that was spotted in the eastern part of the state. The hairs on this caterpillar are venomous spines that cause a painful reaction if touched. They eat oak and elm leaves and can be found in parks or near structures. The thing that is going to freak you out is I am going to send you a picture of this thing on this visual medium. Mm-hmm. And you are going to look at it and then be like, wow, people should Google that because this is a podcast. You can't see it. And that's what's going to happen. And you're not going to like it. That's what they look like, just clumps. They look like hair you find in your sink.
Oh, that's... Oh.
Yeah. And every single one of those hairs is poisonous.
What? That's in Virginia?
Yeah. And they look like climb walls and leave residue that's poisonous, too.
It looks like a toupee.
Yeah. That's exactly what Cassie said.
Cassie's very smart.
I know.
That's gross.
Gross, Jake. It's gross. It's gross and weird.
Animals, over two. We open up the mailbag with our next move. First question comes from Giles. Which sport has the best official theme song?
See, I don't actually totally understand what this question means.
Well, I think it's... I think you have to
Hockey Night in Canada theme and then like round ball... It's Round Ball Rock, of course.
It is Round Ball Rock. It's not... Yeah, that isn't the theme of basketball, but it's a basketball...
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It is Round Ball Rock. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's got to be Round Ball Rock. Or, like, I feel like when John Madden was calling games, like, NFL on Fox had a good one. Maybe.
Definitely.
I feel like they did. Dun, 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 dun. I don't remember.
It's Round Ball Rock.
Yeah, it's Round Ball Rock.
Unfortunately easy.
It's not Hockey Night in Canada.
Which has changed, and I don't even know what it is anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
Not counting the retro Raptors jersey, which is the best Raptors alternate jersey.
Ooh, I'm going to go Blue Huskies.
I knew you'd say that. I like the black and gold city editions. I think those are nice. I don't love the chevron on the legs.
Yeah, I don't love the chevron.
I like it even less than the red and whites.
Yes, me too. I wish we hadn't won the title in that. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the chevron jersey. I like it better if it says Toronto rather than North or Raptors.
Right.
But right. Yeah, I'm not a huge on the. I love the color scheme on the black and golds, especially the white and golds are beautiful. I just wish they were designed a little different.
I understand that. Connor W., as we enter spooky season, Do you have any good scary movie recommendations? We're trying to find some good content. So instead of answering this, I will say, Jake, please answer this well, because we watched Happy Death Day, which is like not really
it's a like horror a com- movie. Yeah, it's like a comedy. I like that one a lot, though. The sequel's really good, too.
It's like a dark comedy. It's not really a horror movie.
Scary movie recommendations. I feel like Cassie should answer this one, but she's playing Zelda. Oh, yeah, a movie that I haven't seen because it looks too scary for me, but Cass really likes it. It's called The Eyes of My Mother. I don't know anything about it, but I know the trailer was very scary, and I was like, oh, I need to see that. We watched a movie recently that just came out called The Rental. That was, weirdly enough, written and directed by Dave Franco. But it's, like, genuinely pretty scary. And, like, the movie itself isn't that scary, but the very ending, once you figure out, like, what is happening, very genuinely creeped me out. It reminded me a bit of another movie that I'll recommend if you haven't seen it, from many years ago, called The Strangers, which is a movie, I think, with Liv Tyler, which is basically about these people trying to survive a home invasion, but the home invasion happens for no reason. It's just like they do it cuz, and The Rental has a bit of that, but like the last like few shots are genuinely like super terrifying, and it takes a lot for a movie to like get to me. And like the rest of the movie is fine, like it's good and well done. It's with Dan Stevens, who I always love. Yeah, check out The Rental if you want something newer. I don't know what else is scary. Cassie, what else is scary? Oh, that's true. Resting on Pretty is posting all their scariest movies or favorite scary movies on Instagram, so just follow that.
There you go. What's the weirdest thing you have seen in somebody else's home? That's from Quad A Player.
Weirdest thing in somebody else's home. This isn't really weird, and I actually think it's kind of cool, but I always think it always catches me off guard. Whenever people have, like people who I don't expect them to have, like, restaurant-level kitchen equipment. Like, when you walk someone's house and they have a meat grinder. I'm always like, whoa, like, why do you have that? It's cool.
Interesting place to take that answer.
Well, because I don't really know. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't even really think about. I don't really think about like weird things in people's homes. They'd have to really jump out at me. Also, I haven't been in another house in 8 months. So,
not leaving your house for a year will make that harder to answer. I mean that sweet potato you guys have with wings on it.
Well, yeah, obviously Cassie's weird stick thing is the weirdest thing in someone's house.
Not even really close, frankly. Kramer asked what game show we thought we'd be best at.
Didn't we just do this?
I still think like you should be able to win Wheel of Fortune pretty handily. If you're a functioning adult. If it's a show with multiple disciplines, such as Price is Right, what discipline would you be best at? And I think as an like the game I'd like to play the most probably is I'd love to play Fast Money on Family Feud.
Which one is that? That's like the lightning round?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Any lightning round in anything really.
Fast Money is my favorite one to watch.
I feel like do you remember the game like the kids game show Guts?
Of course.
Guts, I feel like. I don't know if I'd be good at it, but I always wanted to do it.
Isn't that like American Gladiators, basically?
Basically. It's like kids American Gladiators.
Mid Awesome asks, what's the best Halloween costume we've ever had?
When I was like 3 or 4, I went out as Pat Borders.
Yeah, I was a Blue Jays player a lot. I was a Blue Jays player several times. Not super intricate. I was never a huge intricate Halloween costume gift guy. As an adult, when I was in comedy school, I was like a luchador wrestler, but I was the luchador wrestler like in a suit. You know how they wear the suits with their masks as well? Like they, it's just part of how they walk around in their everyday life is with a mask on. But then underneath the suit, I was wearing wrestling gear, and I got into a wrestling match in the middle of the party.
That's pretty good. I kind of stopped.
And won.
Like, I stopped dressing up when I was like 14. So right my answer is all like kids. Like kids costumes.
The right thing to do.
Yeah. I'll say Pat Borders when I was like 4. And I feel like I was another Blue Jay when I was 5. But I don't remember who it was. Probably whichever, I was just, it's probably whichever Blue Jay I had a jersey of, to be honest. That was
I was just a Blue Jay player. I didn't have a specific. My name is David. What's the biggest lie you've told your parents they still don't know about?
That I had a plan for my future. Hey.
I don't know. Biggest lie. I don't know. I don't know. It would have been about my financial security at a certain point in my past.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you know what? I didn't tell my parents. I quit my job. I didn't tell my parents for a while. When I quit a couple jobs ago and I was unemployed for a long time.
Yeah, I've done a lot of like career plan or like applying for school or applying for job stuff at certain points. Not always. Like I've said that and been truthful, but I've also said it and not been truthful at times.
Paul B. Adam, what is the most satisfying household chore? Take out, you know what? Simple but easy. Taking the garbage out. I love doing it.
See, I don't like taking the garbage out. It's not so much the chore itself, but the finished product of like cleaning the kitchen. I don't like doing it. But like we did we cooked a turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and shit on Sunday. And like that obviously made the kitchen a mess as it should. But then I mean, to be fair, Cassie cleaned the kitchen on Sunday, not me. But just the idea of like how messy the kitchen was and then it's clean is just like yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer. I like taking the garbage out, recycling out because it's something that was there and then not there. I love the absence of the garbage. It feels so good. Chris Boulding, why have we allowed the price of McDoubles to rise so high in this country? That is true. McDouble now alone is like $2.60 something.
Yeah, it's not like expensive, honestly, but like when it used to be like the dollar menu, yeah.
McDonald's in general is like if you're buying the legitimate McDonald's meals, it's like you're spending like $25 now. It's absurd.
Yeah, I like even two meals at McDonald's is like $24.
It's unbelievable. It's supposed to be like 10. That price of McDonald's is out of control in this country.
Agreed. If there's anything that's changed in this country, it's that the burger that's $2.60 should be $1.30.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. All McDonald's menus way too high now. It's supposed to be discount, low end dining, and it's like, man. $8 sandwich? That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Stu Evans, with a Canadian division next year in the NHL possible, what other rule changes should sports add? I would love more balanced schedules. I would love the Major League Baseball. I'd love to see a balanced schedule where you play, like everybody in the American League plays each other equal amount of times or league-wide or something even so that being in a different division in baseball doesn't dramatically affect your chance to make the playoffs.
Half court shots are worth 4.
Oh boy. You want more chucking.
I don't want it, but I like the option there. See, that's the thing. It's one of those rule changes that would have to go perfectly and everyone have an understanding of, or else it would be a disaster. Like if it was which is why it wouldn't work and it shouldn't happen, because you're right, it would just turn into Chuck Fest, which isn't fun.
I think you're more likely to see the corner three eliminated than you are.
Oh, that's interesting. But I don't know if I like that. I like three-pointers.
Just the corner three.
Yeah, I know, but oh, then OG wouldn't have a place to live.
This is the kind of thing they're trying to cut down on. I don't know that it'll go over.
What other rule changes do I want to see? I actually feel like basketball's in a pretty good place, rule wise. I won't lie. I'm not sure there's a lot I would change in the NBA game itself.
Yeah, Canadian division isn't really a rule change. It's an alignment change.
I mean, obviously MLB
balanced division.
MLB realignment, 100%.
Yeah, let's just balance it. Just make it even.
Yeah,
came pretty close this year. Last question from Jay Nielsen: what's the best and worst song to hear at a wedding?
The worst is. Because, like, the thing about
Chicken Dance is the worst.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I was going to say Two Princes because I hate that song. No, I feel like the thing about wedding songs is, like, the ones that you expect to hear are actually usually pretty fun at a wedding.
Right.
But, like, there are some that are pretty tedious. I've never been a big YMCA guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. YMCA, Chicken Dance.
Yeah, anything with a, like, choreographed dance expectation except for Shout is Shout is the dark. Right. Yeah, the best is any song where the most people at the wedding will drunkenly sing along as loud as possible.
Yeah, I think best is Fisher in the Dark and Home for a Rest is a rowdy time.
Yeah, or like depending
both your family.
Yeah, or like any good like 90s hip hop song that everyone knows is always a good time. Mm,
yeah, yeah. That's it. That's the mailbag. We will return in just a moment, decide whether we are sad or not sad after this. And we close things out once again by asking the question on everybody's mind, whether we are sad or not sad for another week. Jake, I will let you go first this week. Are you sad or not sad?
I guess this is closer to sad than not sad. It's not really either. It's more I'm having a lot of trepidation and anxiety.
Trepidatious, not trepidatious.
I'm doing a sleep study tonight at home. Ooh. And I've never done one before. And for some reason, literally for no reason, it's giving me a ton of anxiety, even though it's literally putting a thing on my face and finger and falling asleep. Like, it could not be an easier thing to do in my own bed. Don't even have to go to a lab. Put a cannula in your nose, put a thing on your finger, and go to sleep. But for some reason, I'm like...
What really are you trying to learn about your sleep?
I snore like a crazy person.
My goodness.
And it like it keeps Cassie up, and also I'm starting to notice that like I wake up really tired now, even though like I'm sleeping. Yeah. But like apparently it's a thing where like you have crazy snoring, you generally wake up tired.
Makes sense. Because you're constantly almost dying.
Yeah, I guess. So we're gonna find out what this is.
All the choking. Man, that's wild. It makes me... Snoring's tough, right? Because, like, people will get mad at you even though you're just trying to sleep. There's nothing you can do about it, but, like, I get mad when I'm sleeping near somebody who's loudly snoring. It's very annoying.
Yeah, I feel terrible about it. Like, every morning when Cassie's like, I'm so tired, I didn't sleep because you sounded like a jet engine. I'm like, oh, well, I feel very bad about that.
If it helps at all, I'm also tired.
I'm also tired and feel guilty. I feel bad about that. But yeah, so I like that's why it's like I'm excited to find out what's wrong. I hope I don't have sleep apnea because I don't want to wear one of those fucking machines.
I was gonna say, are you headed to Mask Town?
I hope not. I really hope not. But at this point, after trying like every over the counter thing we could, like I have a special pillow, I got like a nasal spray thing. And like nothing's fixed it, I feel like I'm probably ending up in Mask Town, and I really don't want to.
Yeah, you already wear one all day anyway, so that's rough, brother. I gotta tell you, that sounds like it sucks. which is no consolation, but is all I really have to offer for you. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Boy, I guess... I guess not sad. Not a whole lot on either end. Just another week of quarantine, man. It wears on me a little bit, but... as we try to do occasionally on this show, is remind ourselves that we are lucky and in good spots.
You sound great.
Perfect example. As my wife tries so hard to quietly open a bag of chips on the couch beside the dog. To mixed results, I would say. Who's got it better than us? In spite of it all, laughing all the time, because I'm blessed with quite a funny partner. And, it's been weird. We're back to no sports. We don't know what to do with our nights. So we watch scary shows and go on our phones so we can look at our phones during the especially scary parts and then look over our phones.
Is that the plan?
Back and forth. So it's, yeah, that's maybe that's why we didn't find Blind Man or anything. It's anytime anything was like, but no, then what would happen is one of us would see a ghost or something and we would rewind it and show the other person, which like it kills a lot of the scariness, but it helps. We're both the same,
but you gotta
very similar. We're like,
you gotta see it.
Yeah. You gotta see it. Exactly right. Yes, and we balance it. That's right. We do an episode of Hill House, and then we immediately watch Parks and Rec, and then we watch Hill House again.
That's good.
Every 2 hours,
you gotta have that palate cleanser. That's what. Yeah, we watch Gossip Girl after we watch Scary Things, and it's like, oh, this is silly.
Just us chickens. Anyway,
are you rewatching Parks and Rec now? Didn't you just watch for the first time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're watching it with sort of in an aimless way.
Right,
but whatever episode we happen to be on, no big deal.
That's key for, I've noticed anyway, in quarantine, having a show you've seen before just like on is helpful and good.
Yeah. Just chilling and feeling fine. Anyway, that's it for another week. We close the books on whether we are sad or not sad, I guess. I guess we're not sad, as Jake tries to stop snoring and I laugh at my wife, who's eating an enormous potato chip right now. anyway, if you want more content, we have the monthly mailbags and our weekly looks backs on patreon.com/sportshall. My wife is measuring a potato chip with a measuring tape. 4.5 inches. It's a 4.5 inch long potato chip. Jesus. How wide is it, honey? It's huge.
I'd say 2-3.
Yeah, it's a 4.5 by 3 inch potato chip.
What brand is this?
It's the house brand Loads of Sour Cream and Onion from our local grocer.
That is a big, big chip.
It's a whole potato. Anyway, that is it for another week. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for listening to Sportsfeld.